Hi, welcome to our presentation on an introduction to higher education. My name's David Handy and I'm Senior Student Recruitment Manager here at Newman University. I've been at the university a little while now. Prior to that, I had over 15 years experience in the secondary school setting where I was head of sixth form and head of careers. So I've got a lot of experience in helping support students as they move on to university. If you want to contact me with any questions about this session today, you'll see my email address on the screen there, or indeed about anything to do with the university application process. I do look forward to hearing from you. So in this session, we're going to cover the benefits of higher education. We're going to look at how to choose a course in a university and give you a quick overview of the university application process and of student finance. And we're going to look a little at university life and virtual open days. So the benefits of higher education. Obviously, you come in to get that experience in your subject that you've got that real passion for. In my case, it was computer science. In yours, it may be law, maybe psychology, maybe sport, one of the many other subjects that are out there in the world of higher education. In terms of career development, a graduate, so that's someone with a degree, can earn on average £12,000 more a year than someone who hasn't got a degree, a non-graduate, which over an average working lifetime is around about £500,000. As you'll see here by this graph, for every level of qualification you get higher, on average, you stand to earn more per week. So you'll see from GCSE up to A level or equivalent, then up to degree level, you stand to be earning more money per week. As I should say, this is an average, but it's certainly a degree can help with your earning potential. There are also those skills that make you much more employable. When we think about those transferable skills, that could be communication, both written and verbal. When we think about written comms, it could be report writing, essay writing, even honing your email writing skills, okay, and writing for different audiences. In terms of presentations, you have standing in front of a room, which is a great skill to learn, to be able to present to an audience and learn how to adapt what you're saying to the people who are in front of you. And of course, these days, we have online presentations as well. So all things that you'll probably be working on during your time at university. Gaining independence is something I think really comes when you come to university. That could be because you've moved to live in halls of residence, or it could just be that additional freedom that you get as part of your studies in a higher education institution. I've got friends who perhaps moved into halls of residence when they went to university, and they will say it very much meant that they had to learn to cook, clean, wash, iron, and all those skills, which have stood them in good stead as they've moved forwards in their life. But even if it is that you're commuting to university, there are still lots of opportunities to be much more independent. You've got to manage your time, both in terms of your studies, but also in terms of travelling to the institution. It also stands to be the first time in your life when you're going to be budgeting for yourself. With student finance, you get that money, your maintenance loan, in three instalments across the year. So it's making sure that you don't overspend. Certainly in the day when I was head of sixth form, I always used to say to my students, make sure you don't spend all your money on takeaways in the first couple of weeks. And I do really think university helps to develop self-confidence, okay, both in terms of your presentation, but also in your abilities as a student and as a professional. And I think it gives you very much an awareness of what it is that you're good at and what that you'd like to develop further on in your career. So the research process into the world of universities, and that starts today. When we're thinking about subjects, this is some advice I would give you, really. So think about what it is that you enjoy, what it is that you're good at. They're my two main criteria, and it helps if you've got experience in it, but certainly what you enjoy and what you're good at. So when we're thinking of that course, if there's something that you really enjoy, but you're maybe not so strong academically at it, I would perhaps question whether or not to roll with that subject. Likewise, if there's something that you're really good at, but you find you lack motivation to study, again, I would question picking that subject. If you can tick both those boxes, and maybe if you bring that experience in, then I think you're onto a winner. When we think in terms of types of course, we've got a whole wealth of things we can look at here. So single honours is where you'll just do one subject and lots of different modules, lots of different topics within that. What I would say is that a history degree at Newman will very probably be different to a history degree at another institution. When we're looking at degree courses, they are very much based upon the lecturer's specialisms who are teaching you. So it's important that you have a look around and make sure that the topics that are being covered are the things that you want to learn. A joint honours is where you can maybe do two subjects together. So let's say psychology with counselling. Sandwich courses, they're not courses in sandwich making, you'll be disappointed to hear. These are courses with a significant amount of work experience. And the way a sandwich programme works is that you do year one and two at university. Year three, you spend the whole year out doing a work placement in a real life company, working on real life projects, before you return to a university for year four. At Newman, we do things slightly differently. In year two, on all of our 3 year undergraduate programmes, our students complete a work experience module. Okay, so it's something really that to help them as they move into the world of work, to help build contacts and help develop the skills that they're looking for in the workplace. In terms of foundation pathways, at Newman we've got two different routes. So you have foundation degrees, which are the equivalent of level four and level five, so the first 2 years of a normal undergraduate degree. And you can find information about where we offer those on our course guides on our website. We also offer the top-up year, so the level six. So I know some of you watching this presentation may be in colleges, you may well have done a HND, you know, which takes you up to level five. So you might want to come and do the level six with us. And in a range of our subjects, we do offer those top-ups. Again, further information can be found on our course pages. Foundation years are slightly different. If perhaps you're approaching an undergraduate degree and you haven't quite got the entry requirements to come onto that, a foundation year could be a good way to help boost those skills and get the required qualification to move on to a normal undergraduate degree. Again, at Newman, we have those across a range of our subjects. When we're thinking about where to study, you've got a range of options here. So you could stay local, you could perhaps move away, perhaps move into halls of residence, or indeed, you could go and study abroad, which is certainly an option for some students. Where to begin that research? Obviously, you're watching this video today. On the Newman website, you find lots of information about our courses and our institution. But if you go onto UCAS, or the University and College Admission Service, they're the people who administer applications to university. On their website, they have got a course finder. And on there, you can sort search by the course subject name, by the location, or indeed for that university. And from UCAS, you'll find links to the university websites, and you'll find out a bit more about those entry requirements. You can choose from more than 50,000 courses out there, over 400 institutions. So there really are endless choices. And I hope that you take the time to do some very effective research to make sure the institution that you're going to is going to be the institution for you. Again, let's say history is an example here when choosing a course. You can do just a course in history. Okay. And like I said earlier, a course in history at one institution will be different to a history at another university. But you can also specialise. And these are just some of the specialisms that you can take history in here in the UK. If you've got a very specific career in mind, okay, there are some very specific degrees out there. Newman, obviously, we're known for teaching. Okay, and we've also got roots in law. Okay, but I know some of you may be interested in things like medicine, veterinary, dentistry. You will find a degree out there to suit you. It could be you want to try something completely new. Perhaps if you've got skills relating to these areas, so these are just a few random subjects that we've got that out there. So Bath Spa University do contemporary circus for physical theatre, University for the Creative Arts do silversmithing, goldsmithing and jewellery. What I always say to students is if you've got an interest or a passion for something, you'll probably find a degree course in it. Whilst you can't do a degree in Harry Potter studies, what I would say to that is you could study Harry Potter as part of English. You could study Harry Potter as part of film, costume design, set design. There are so many different things that you could study that in. Whilst you can't get Harry Potter BSc, you could at least explore that passion as part of another degree programme. When we think about entry requirements, each university will be slightly different. They may ask for UCAS points from the UCAS tariff. So for instance, 3Cs is 96 UCAS points, or they may ask for grades. Okay, it will vary. And you'll see that for some courses, there'll be specific subjects that you've got to have. There'll be other universities that don't accept certain qualifications. Is it that you've got to attend the interview? Have you got to provide a portfolio? Is there an audition in the case of our drama course, there is not a short audition piece. So you can have a look at those entry requirements. You'll find that on that UCAS website and also within the university prospectuses and course guides. I mentioned that UCAS tariff, 81% of institutions do use that system. And this is just an abridged version of it here. So you'll see that for points effectively make prizes for your A-level grades and, you know, for your level 3 BTECs. The full UCAS tariff is available on their website, and that's attached to the vast majority of level 3 qualifications. When it comes to choosing a course or a university, think about, do you want to move away or do you want to stay at home and perhaps commute to university? And what type of university do you want to go to? So at Newman, we are a central campus. We have everything there. You know, we have our library, we have our restaurants, cafes, lecture spaces, sports centre, student accommodation. It's all on one place in Bartley Green and Birmingham. We're right on the edge of the countryside. We have Bartley Reservoir over the road. Okay, so it's quite different perhaps to studying in a city centre. You know, when we think about other campuses, you might have very large campus universities. I can think of one in the East Midlands that's very big. And when we think about more dispersed universities, it could well be that they've got different locations across a city or indeed perhaps in multiple towns. When we're thinking, do you want to go to a small or a large university? You know, at Newman, we've got around about 3,000 students, which is on the smaller end of things, whereas some of the larger universities have got well in excess of 40,000. The map that I've got on the screen here, this certainly isn't a complete map of universities in the UK, but it gives you an idea that really there is pretty much anywhere you could think of, you'll find a university within not too far much of a commute. And of course, in London, you know, there are quite a lot of unis down there, but do bear in mind that the cost of living there is higher than in, perhaps in the rest of the country. How are you going to find out a bit more about these things? You're going to have done your research and prospectuses and online. UCAS exhibitions, UK University Search, What Uni, all these are big careers fairs that you can go to where a vast majority of UK unis will be there. You can speak to representatives, you could sign up for a prospectus, you can collect a pen, all those different things. And of course, then you move on to university open days, which are on campus at universities traditionally. At the moment, you know, we're in the middle of a global pandemic. And what I would say about UCAS exhibitions and open days, they've very much moved online now. So you've got virtual careers fairs and virtual open days. Now, a virtual open day for me has got so many positives. You haven't got to travel to that university. So perhaps, you know, you're saving a bit of money on your travel costs and also your time, but you can still speak to the academics, to current students. You can see the facilities via virtual tours. You can speak to our accommodation team, our admissions, our finance. You can find all about that university and really get a feel for that. And I would encourage you to be visiting those virtual open days. League tables are out there. You know, I know some of you will be using those when you're starting to rank universities. And some of the league tables out there, you've got the Complete University Guide, the Guardian, the Times, National Student Survey, and you can rank universities and indeed at course level based upon a whole range of things. I know some of you will be thinking of having a look at those. Some universities have got the very much known for certain topics. So at Newman, we're known for teaching and education, for instance. There's a whole wealth of other things we do beside that, but certainly in 1968, that's where we were founded as a teacher training institution. The UCAS application process, okay, I'm going to talk you through this. So normally you register with UCAS. I would say if you're currently in school or college, this is normally done towards the end of year 12, perhaps the start of year 13. You then go on to apply online. You've got up to 5 choices you can put on that form. Those 5 choices should all be in the same sort of subject area because you can only write one personal statement. So it's very hard. You couldn't really apply for geography, biology, film studies, psychology and computer science because that would look a really cluttered application. However, you could apply for 5 courses in the area of sport, for instance, and that could be, you know, 2 or 3 at the same university and a couple at another, or it could be 5 completely different universities. So you put that application in. If you're part of a school or college, traditionally you'll do that through your school or college, they will link that application through so they can attach your reference. If you're applying as an individual, you can certainly do that. I know that many of you watching this will be perhaps returning to education, and you just have to put the name of a referee in. So that could be your most recent employer. It could be a previous tutor. It's very much up to you who you put down there. But you send off your applications. Traditionally, for Oxbridge, medicine, veterinary, and dentistry, the deadline date is the 15th of October. For all of the courses, we have a date, what they call deadline for equal consideration, which is the 15th of January. Up to that point, universities have to consider your applications and make a decision based on them. Of course, some universities will continue to accept applications after that date. Okay, but certainly aim for that that deadline of the 15th of January. If you're currently in school or college, your institution may well say to you, we want your application by a certain date. Please do work those deadlines. So after we've considered your application, we'll start to make offers. It could be conditional. You've got to get certain grades or a certain amount of UCAS points. It could be an unconditional offer. More typically, I would say they're attached to students who've already got their level 3 qualifications. It could be that we make you a slightly alternative offer if we don't think you're quite right for one course, but we have a course that we do think you're suitable for. And sadly, in some cases, some students will be declined. Once you've got all your offers back, you'll make a firm and insurance choice. So your firm choice is the university that you really want to go to. It should be the entry requirements around about what you're predicted. It's certainly something for you to aim for. Your insurance choice should be a university that you'd be happy to go to, a course that you're happy with, but it should have a slightly lower entry requirement because it is an insurance. What I would say about all those five choices that you put on your form, you should have engaged with those universities. Okay, what I would say is at the moment, it's very hard. You can't go and visit those universities. I'm speaking in June 2020. Hopefully in the autumn you will be able to. But I would certainly say you need to have engaged with virtual events, whether that's virtual open days or indeed a webinar program. Many universities are running those. And at Newman, we've got a range of webinars running. You can find out more about those, www.newman.ac.uk/webinars. If you haven't got any offers or you choose to withdraw from all those courses, in February time, there's a system at Opens called UCAS Extra where you can apply to universities on an individual basis through UCAS Track. So, for instance, you're interested in psychology and you approach us through UCAS Track and ask if we would consider you. If we say yes, great. We would probably make you a conditional offer based upon the grades you're going to get. But if we were to decline you, you go back into that pool and then you can go to another university and ask the same question. At around that time, in February, is also when the student finance application window would tend to open. Moving forwards a few months, you get to the end of year 13 and you get your results issued normally in August. At that point, hopefully you'll get your university course confirmed. If perhaps things haven't quite gone to plan, all is not lost. Okay, there is a system called Clearing, which helps to match students who haven't yet found a university and course with universities that have still got vacancies on their courses. You'll find there's a broad range of universities in there, from your Russell Group universities through to your medium and perhaps lower tariff institutions as well. OK, so all is not lost. Universities, we're here to support you through that. I know those of you who are currently in school or college, you will have teaching staff and advisors who will be there to support you as well. So don't think that just because you haven't got the grades that you required for your first choice, that all is lost. It really won't be. You can explore and find other opportunities out there. So in terms of the UCAS application form, you register with UCAS. If you're currently in a school or college, they'll give you something called a buzzword, which will link your application to that institution. Do remember it is an application. So, capital letters for your name and your address and all that kind of thing. So I've certainly seen applications where people look as though they've written them in a hurry and almost as though they're writing a text message to their friends. You put your choices on, you put your education in there. And what I would say with that is that when you put in your qualifications in, have your results certificates in there, perhaps for your GCSEs, so that you can transpose the details of the exam board, the name of the subject onto there. And you also need to enter the details of anything that you're currently studying. If you've been employed, whether that is a part-time job, a Saturday job, you can put that onto here. Or if indeed you've got a more significant amount of work experience, you can indeed indicate that onto your form. Your personal statement is 4,000 characters or 47 lines where you're going to tell our admissions tutors why you should be allowed onto that course. You'll find further videos on our website regarding that. And also we do run live webinars on that topic. There'll be a reference. If you're currently in education, that's normally provided by your head of sixth form or your tutor. As I said earlier, if you're coming back to the world of learning, it could be from your most recent employer, or it could be from an academic who's worked with you previously. Now, to send your form, if we're looking to apply for September 2021, for up to 5 courses, your application will cost you £26, whereas if you're just applying for the one course, that will be at a cost of £20. So how important is your degree subject when you're looking for a job? Okay, it really does depend on what it is that you want to do. So we've got Emma Watson here from Harry Potter. You know, she's very well known as an actress. You know, and she's perhaps done this slightly differently. She's done her degree part-time over in America, perhaps not in drama, which you would have expected, but in the world of English literature. Okay. Next up, we've got Brian May from Queen. Okay, it looks a little bit like a mad scientist, but and you probably think, well, what on earth is maths and physics and doctorates at the highest level of degree you can get in astrophysics? What's that got to do with being a musician? Well, that guitar that you see there, he designed and built that back when he was a very young man with his father. So he used his maths and physics skills to work out the spacing of the frets and the electronics as part of that. And you know, in the world of music, there's an awful lot of science. You know, in terms of tape speed or technology, all things that he would have used in his career. So he has used some of the things that he would have learned as part of academia in his career. So how am I going to study at university? At the moment, obviously a lot of discussion in the media, we're in the middle of a global pandemic, about what teaching is going to look like at university moving forwards. I think as we go into the 2020-2021 academic year, you'll probably see more of a mix of blended learning where there will be face-to-face opportunities, but also there will be some learning that will be carried out online. And that potentially could be here to stay for the future. But you know, traditionally we have those lectures, where you'll come, sit in a room and hear from an academic on a particular topic. Okay, at Newman, we do have lecture theatres. A lot of our teaching is more in the form of seminar work in smaller classrooms and groups. And hopefully when you do get a chance to visit our campus, you'll get to see those facilities. You know, there'll be lab work for some subjects. There'll be lots of independent study, whether that's in our library, whether it's that you're studying at home, but there'll be an awful lot of independent study, certainly a significant amount more than you would have been doing perhaps at level three. There are opportunities to study abroad, and as I mentioned earlier, lots of opportunities for work placements as well. When you move to university, you certainly will be supported. Okay, there's a whole wealth of people out there in the universities that are there to help support you, you know, should you need that, whether that's chaplaincy. You know, at Newman we are a Catholic institution. We also have, you know, a multi-faith prayer room alongside our chapel. We have our careers teams. We have student support who are there to help you with counselling and other such things. Can you see all the other opportunities here that we've got? Again, you'll find out more about that on our website. The Students' Union, you know, certainly when I went to university, the Students' Union was the place that people went to organise the social activities. You know, and certainly our Students' Union organised some fantastic events, you know, in our facilities. You know, they've got some brilliant things that they run, quiz nights, party nights, live music. You know, they organise all that, but they're also there, you know, to be a critical friend to the university, and they've got elected officers who are there to help support you, the student body, and champion your causes and things that matter to you, to us as an institution. They are your voice. So universities all have societies, and these are just some examples that you're seeing. You know, so gaming, People and Planet. I believe one of the universities in Birmingham has got a curry club. What we say at Newman is, if there is a society that we haven't got, if you can find five like-minded people, then our Student Union will help you to support to start that up. In terms of sport, I know that sports can be very important for some of you, and those facilities at Newman. We've got two gyms, we've got a spinning suite, a squash court, a sports hall, and we've also got an all-weather outdoor pitch. Okay, we do participate in the British Universities and Colleges Sports League, but we do have sports clubs and societies that are more for fun. Whereas in our sports centre as well, you might find classes that you can sign up for. What I would say as well, if you come and live in our halls of residence, you actually get a free gym membership in our gymnasium, which certainly is very good value for money. When we think about student finance, this is a very, very, very big topic. And you can find videos about student finance and indeed webinar sessions that we run as well to really dispel some of the myths that are out there. The words debt and loan are very emotive subjects for people. And what I would say is I don't want you to worry too much about those costs. Your tuition fees, okay, you can apply for a tuition fee loan to Student Finance England, and they pay that for you to the university, so you haven't got to have your tuition fees ready up front to pay. And you can apply for a maintenance loan as well, which will give you some money to live off during the course of your time at university. Now, in terms of repaying that, you don't start to be considered for repayment until the April 1st after you graduate, and you only start to repay once you're earning above a certain threshold. Okay, so if you drop below that, repayments stop. The more that you earn, the more that you repay. And after 30 years, that debt is wiped. Like I say, we do run sessions where we talk about it in much more detail, but saying I don't want you to that to be a barrier for you when you're considering university. You know, there are certainly a wealth of student discounts that you can find, with your totem card that you can purchase. And some of these institutions, if you show your student ID, that they will give you your student discount. And these are just some of the examples that are out there. One of the things I always say to students is, you need to be quite savvy with your money. Perhaps when you're going out doing your supermarket shopping, go out on an evening and look for the yellow stickers when they've started to reduce produce, things that perhaps you could freeze or things that would be good for your dinner that evening. Make your money go as far as you can. So the benefits of higher education is really so much more than the qualification. It's about that whole university experience.